Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray as we come to this challenging passage. Lord, we pray that you would speak through your word to us, that in it we would see your comfort, that we would see the beauty of the gospel, and that we would encourage our hearts to trust and follow Jesus more and more. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever felt betrayed? Maybe you've been betrayed at work. A boss has taken credit for your work. A colleague has thrown you under the bus. Or those false promises of a promotion never materialized. Maybe you've felt betrayed by your friends who have stopped inviting you to the social gatherings because they found out you're a Christian. Or maybe you've experienced the deep personal betrayal of marital betrayal. If you haven't felt the wounds of betrayal, I'm sure in this broken world at some point you will feel its sting. And when you feel betrayed, I pray that you will remember this story from Luke 22. I pray that you will remember that Jesus was betrayed by his closest friends and followers. I pray that you remember that he knows what it feels like to be betrayed by those who claim to love him, where we see they abandon him and reject him. This story is here because it reminds us that Jesus not only understands but sits with us in our pain. But it also points us forward, because this story points us forward to something, because he has done something about all betrayals. And what he has done actually gives us strength to face the times when we are betrayed. Well, friends, maybe you haven't experienced betrayal. Maybe you're here today and you have been the one who has betrayed another. And you're carrying the guilt, the shame, and the pain of that decision. Well, if that's you this morning, this passage provides you with something unexpected. It frees you from the crushing burden of regret. So as we dive into these passages, we're going to look at it under these following three headings: betrayal, broken, and rebuilt. So let's begin with betrayal. Now, in this passage, you may have noticed when it was read that there are three betrayals of Jesus. There's the betrayal by Judas, that's a pretty obvious one. There's a betrayal by the religious leaders, and then there's the betrayal by Peter at the end. And what I want to do this morning is dig into why each of those betrayed Jesus, because that may shine a light onto our hearts as to the times where we may feel like we want to betray Jesus. So let's start with Judas. Here's a picture of Judas. Not sure if it's an accurate description of Judas, but here he is. Greed was the thing that drove Judas to betray Jesus. We see in John chapter 12, verse 6 on the screen, it says, "Judas did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and as keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it." And then we read again in a parallel passage to this one in Matthew 26, verse 14 and 15. We read that one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests, the religious leaders, and he asked, "Hey, what are you guys willing to give me if I hand Jesus over to you?" And so they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. From then on, Judas looked for an opportunity to hand Jesus over. Greed drove Judas to betray Jesus. And friends, greed can drive us to betray Jesus too. The love of money can lead us away from loving him. I remember in a church back in Sydney, there was a worship leader called Michael. And he was heavily involved in church. He led the band on a Sunday. He was a life group leader. He even served on parish council, that most high calling. It is, says the treasurer. But Michael ended up taking a job that paid him a lot of money, but also demanded a lot of his time. And slowly but surely, he started to move away from his relationship with Jesus. Slowly but surely, he stopped serving on the worship team. He would regularly cancel life groups at the drop of a hat. And then slowly but surely, he stopped attending church altogether. Now, I don't know where Michael is with his relationship with Jesus, but what I do know from his social media account is that Michael has a lovely big house. He goes on amazing overseas holidays, and he has some fantastic cars which he likes driving around. Could this morning, friends, this be the warning to you that greed can start the slow steps of starting to betray Jesus? Maybe this morning money isn't leading you to betray Jesus. Maybe it could be grasping for power and control, because this is what drives the second group of people to betray Jesus, and that is the religious leaders. Jesus was starting to take away their power and control. And we read this in Luke chapter 22, verse 52 and 53. Have a look at that with me. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have to come here with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." Now they're there arresting him in the middle of the night where there is no one around, no crowds to know what's going on. And they're doing this out of fear of the people, because they knew that the people really liked Jesus. They loved his teaching. They were following him in droves. And it drove the religious leaders mad. They could see their power and their control over the people slipping away. And so to regain power over them, they arrest him under the cover of darkness. Now, friends, we may not have power and control over our city or our parliament like these religious leaders did. But this dynamic is still at play deep in our hearts. Because I know myself that I betray Jesus when his power and demands on my life conflict with what I want to do. When his word is clear to go this way and I want to go that way. We are having a power and control battle. And I'm sure I'm not alone. I'm sure many of us feel internally this power struggle, because we just deep down don't want someone to tell us how we should live, what we should do with our money, what we should do with our bodies. And friends, this power struggle has actually existed since the beginning of time. Do you remember Eve in the garden? It was a power struggle that led her to eat the fruit. And in these moments when we betray Jesus, when we ignore his wisdom for how to live, we often end up causing ourselves pain and pain to those around us. Well, maybe you're not like the religious leaders and you're having a power struggle with Jesus. Maybe you relate more to Peter, who betrays Jesus out of fear. Have a look with me at verse 56. Peter followed at a distance. A servant girl, a young girl, probably 12, 13 years of age, saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man, he was with them." But he denied it. "Woman, I do not know him," Peter said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly, this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. I feel many of us can relate to Peter in this moment. He was scared of the group. He didn't want to be found out to be a follower of Jesus, and so he takes the easy path and he denies Jesus three times. And friends, there are going to be times where we're going to be in similar situations to Peter, whether it's at work, whether it's at a party, whether it's at a conference, where we'll be put on the spot and we will be asked if we're a follower of Jesus or not. And in that moment, will we stand up and affirm that we follow Jesus? Or will we be like Peter and let fear lead us to betray him? Now, I raise these three betrayals of Jesus to shine a light maybe into our hearts about one of the three ways in which we may betray Jesus. And in one sense, we're just as guilty as every single person in this story. We've let Jesus down at one point or another. But the great thing about Christianity is God never leaves us in our guilt and our shame. There's actually good news. And Jesus has done something for those who betray him. And we see in this next point that Jesus was broken for the betrayers. Jesus bleeds for the betrayers. Last week, you remember, we saw that Jesus clearly pointed this out when he said, "This is my body," where he broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Broken for you." And then he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, the cup, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." And this week we see when he's in the garden, weeping, sweating drops of blood, he's feeling the anguish of this fast approaching reality of him being broken for the betrayers. Have a look at this moment in verse 41 with me. Jesus withdrew about a stone's throw beyond the disciples, and then he knelt down and prayed. "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Now the cup that he's referring to is actually the cup of God's wrath. This is an Old Testament image which Old Testament prophets like Jeremiah and Isaiah refer to regularly as the cup of God's judgment on sinful people. And Jesus is praying in his humanity, "God, take this cup from me." He's staring down the barrel of what it means to experience God's wrath. Yet, in love, he prays this, "Not my will, but yours be done." And there in his divinity, he's showing the Son's perfect obedience to the Father. He's showing in that moment and in that sentence and in that anguish that he's saying to God, everyone else has betrayed you, yet I will not betray you, my Father. And on the cross, Jesus drinks this cup to the dregs, bearing in himself the full divine judgment for all the times that I, all the times you, all the times everyone has betrayed God. And the good news for us is there is not a drop left. There is not a drop left. He drinks it completely. And he declares on the cross, it is finished. So on the cross, we see Jesus bleeding for our betrayals so that we don't have to. And Jesus does this so that he can rebuild us, so that he can restore us, so that he can renovate us and make us new. Do you remember that beautiful scene at the end of John's gospel? After Jesus has been resurrected, he goes up to Galilee and the disciples are there fishing and he makes them breakfast on the beach. And then he calls Peter to one side, away from the group, and they go for a little walk on the beach. And Jesus asks Peter once, do you love me? Twice, do you love me? Three times, do you love me? And what Jesus is doing there in that moment for Peter is he's restoring him. He's forgiving him. He's rebuilding him for his three denials and betrayals of Jesus. It is a beautiful moment. And Jesus does that for all of us. He says to us, I've bled for your betrayals. I forgive you. I welcome you back. And I won't betray you in a world where it feels like everyone else does. Jesus says these beautiful words in Matthew 28. He says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So friends, in a world full of broken people, where we feel so acutely the sting of betrayal, Jesus is saying to us, I am the one person who will not betray you. I will be there with you. And friends, knowing that he has actually bled for our betrayals and knowing that he won't betray us and will love us no matter how many times we let him down, this actually gives us strength and power to deal with the times that people betray us. Now, I want to end by sharing something of a shocking story. I heard it many years ago from another pastor while I was listening to a sermon, and it stopped me in my tracks, as it was so powerful that it reminded me of myself and my betrayals, but it also reminded me of the beauty of the gospel. And so I'm going to share this story with you now, and I'm not sharing it to guilt anyone, but I'm sharing it so that we can feel the power of the gospel and its impact that it can have on our lives. So I'm sorry if, as I share this story, it triggers something for some of you, but I pray that you will see the beauty in the brokenness of this story. It was a normal week, and Mike thought he would come home and surprise his wife with lunch. As he walked through the door of their home, something didn't feel right. As he wandered through the house, something was off. And then as he walked into the bedroom, he realized what it was. His wife was there with someone else. That moment, shocked, numb, confused, Mike turned around and left. He jumped in his car and drove off. Mike came back about an hour later. The other man had gone, and he found his wife sobbing. Sobbing in sorrow, guilt, and shame. And through her tears, she kept stammering, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please forgive me." And Mike approached her, holding a package, and he gave it to his wife. And as she unwrapped the package, she lifted up a brand new white robe, perfectly pure, spotless, blameless. And Mike took this robe and he wrapped it around his wife, saying, "This is how Jesus sees me. This is how Jesus sees you. This is how I see you." We've got a lot to work through, and it's going to be hard. But I want you to know that I forgive you. Now, I know this is an extreme story, but I tell it to make an extreme point. This is a picture of the gospel. This is unfathomable love and forgiveness. Spiritually, we are like the wife in this story. We've all betrayed Jesus at some point. Yet Jesus comes to us every single time like this husband, offering to cloak us in his perfect love. Because he drank the cup of God's wrath so that he could forgive us. And friends, when we see this, when we feel this, when we experience this type of forgiveness, it actually gives us the strength and the power to show that forgiveness to others when they betray us, when they abandon us, when they deny us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we sit in seeing your closest followers betray you, and as we sit and reflect on our own betrayals of you, as we reflect on the times we've been betrayed and the times where we may have betrayed others, Father, we pray that we would find comfort here. Comfort knowing that you know what it feels like to be betrayed, and comfort knowing that you came to forgive betrayers. And Lord, I pray that we would find peace in this moment. I pray this in your Son's name. Amen.